Hello and welcome to the Southwesterners Forum. We're joined today by Southwesterner Joe Hicks, manager of Fuge Camps with Lifeway. We're also joined by Dr. Richard Ross, author, speaker, and senior professor of student ministry at Southwestern Seminary. Today, we'll be discussing the impact and importance of camps ministry on the lives of students and the life of the church.
Well, good day again, Southwesterners and Southwesterners Forum. It's a joy to be back together. As the weather gets hotter and storms roll in and out, particularly across Texas, which we're experiencing, we know that means a couple of things. It means graduation's coming. That moment when many of you listening and participating in this call walked across that graduation stage and got your diploma and were launched out to do the work of the ministry, trained by faithful faculty. But we also know, for those of you that have been engaged and involved in the life of a local congregation, that summer doesn't necessarily mean things slow down. It means things ramp up with camp season, particularly for those of you with active youth ministries. Well, today we have the pleasure of being joined. I think it's not an overstatement to say two legends. And I'm excited to facilitate this conversation for a number of reasons. Today, we are joined by Joe Hicks, who serves as the manager of Fuge Camps for Lifeway, and Dr. Richard Ross, who serves as senior professor in the world of student ministry and student, all things students here at Southwestern Seminary. But he's also, and Dr. Ross, I'm going to embarrass you a little, a renowned author and speaker. And like, if you know youth ministry, you know the name Dr. Richard Ross. So I'm pumped to have this conversation with you guys. Welcome to the Southwesterners Forum.
Great to be with you.
This is going to be a bit of a normal conversation because all three of us actually know each other on varying levels, but you guys know each other very well. So Dr. Ross, why don't you explain how you know Joe, and then Joe, provide some color commentary and fact check Dr. Ross for us.
Some of the most special people on the earth grew up in West Texas, and Joe and I would happen to be two of those people from West Texas. I grew up, a good bit of my growing up was in San Angelo, Texas. Joe is from Big Spring, Texas, which is kind of a sister city to San Angelo. My dad was director of missions for Big Spring and San Angelo. He had an office in both towns, and through his role as director of missions, built a relationship with Joe's dad, Clayton Hicks. So we boys grew up, you know, listening to our dads tell stories about how they fought in the Civil War. Well, maybe not exactly, but
not quite that far.
Anyway, we enjoyed having dads that knew and loved each other. So that kind of began our relationship. Joe, why don't you kind of pick up after our dads knew each other?
So interestingly enough, tell a little bit of the story that I may tell later, but at Fuge Camps, when I was a camper there, one of the years I was there, I took a call to the ministry. And it's when I got back home and I was telling my dad about some of the decisions that were made at camp, he quickly, within a few weeks or whatever, gave me this book from Dr. Richard Ross. I think it's called 31 Irrefutable Truths in Youth Ministry, blue book, skinny and long. And so that was my first introduction to Dr. Ross. I would say I also later got to know him when I was in Southwestern Seminary. I don't know if he remembers this, but I was a shuttle driver one time picking up professors at the airport and bringing them to youth lab there at Southwestern Seminary. And then I was fortunate enough whenever in 1995, I started working at what was back then the Baptist Sunday School Board, or Lifeway as we know it. Dr. Ross was on the youth team there that our student ministry camps was a part of as well. So I've been with him and around him professionally for easily over 30 years. So
wow, that's great. Okay. So moving into camp season, there are a lot of different camps out there, Joe, which you know very well. Tell us about Fuge Camps and what kind of differentiates the Fuge Camp experience from some other things for those that aren't familiar.
Sure. Well, Fuge Camps started in 1979 with Don Mattingly, and they started at Glorianna Ridgecrest. They really were there, to be honest with you, twofold. Don Mattingly had this dream of a camp, of bringing churches together and having being able to run camp for them. And then, but also Gloriette and Ridgecrest both had some dorms that were kind of offline because they had Bath on the Hall and families really weren't doing that anymore. But over the years, it quickly grew to their waiting list in their second year was actually larger than their camp participants. So they quickly grew to two more locations, Hannibal LaGrange in the north, Mobile in the south, and have continued to grow over the years. So Fuge Camps this summer will be at over 34 locations, and we'll have 18 teams, and we'll serve around 55,000 campers this summer. So from those humble beginnings, we really have become a camp that runs all the way from Oregon all the way down to South Florida and California all the way over to Philadelphia and places in the middle. I would say one of the things that really does set us apart is we are still one of the few that actually hires the Bible study leaders that actually do Bible study, recreation, track times in the afternoons. And to a lot of these churches, especially these smaller churches, our average is around 25, 26 people per church. These churches maybe come and they really want that turnkey camp experience where they don't have to prepare for Bible study. They've been Bible study teachers, Sunday school teachers, midweek teachers, and they really are looking for somebody else to kind of teach for a while. And so we bring young adults into that space, and that's probably one of the things that really has set us apart over the years is that we have that experience. And the adults also have their own time of sharing and Bible study interaction. So for me, myself, I've been the manager of Fuge Camp since 2019, and just in time to plan camp and then cancel it for COVID. That was a really bad year there. But then we've continued to grow and get back to those numbers ever since. Started out, actually, I said a little bit earlier, as a camper at Glorieta, New Mexico, as my dad would go to Glorieta every summer for an adult conference. And so I was there at 79, 80, 81. I actually came back as a chaperone in 82, group leader in 83, and then went away, didn't go to camp for a while, worked another camp, and then started working summer camps in 1987, full-time in our office since 1995. So really have just enjoyed being a part of the entire process of the camp experience.
That's great. I've got a little more to add to that. But Dr. Ross, you've been a notable and significant figure in the world of student ministry for a long time. What's your interaction and experience been with Fuge Camps and other summer camps?
Well, one thing people may not realize is Don Mattingly, that we just heard, founded the Fuge Camps. He's an alum of Southwestern Seminary, which you might say every single good thing that's happened in a Fuge Camp is 100% responsible to Southwestern Seminary for our great student ministry education and department here.
Amen.
Don is a great, great prince, went to heaven recently, and we probably he's organizing a Fuge Camp there. One thing that I've been so proud of for Fuge is how intentional they are about what they want to see happen in the lives of teenagers. Some smaller camps, I think maybe one planning meeting, very brief discussion about what the hopes and dreams are. I know that Fuge team, I've watched them, they are together for hours praying, thinking carefully about what they want to see happen spiritually to those young people. And what comes out is absolutely 100% biblically sound. I love the fact that Lifeway is owned by the Southern Baptist Convention. The trustees are appointed by the Southern Baptist Convention. Everything that comes out of Fuge is consistent with the Baptist Faith and Message 2000, and youth leaders can be 100% certain that their teenagers are not going to be confused or harmed by something that is not true to Scripture. Another thing I love about Fuge Camps is the quality they can bring into the camp experience. Once again, when you're involving tens of thousands of students in camp, that means you can use premier recreation and recreation instruments. You can do premier technology and worship. You can find the finest, greatest bands and speakers in the country because the infrastructure makes that possible. Therefore, leaders that might only bring two or three students to camp from a small rural church, they're going to be absolutely thrilled that every moment of every Fuge Day has a touch of quality. I love all those things.
Yeah, you've made it real awkward for me now because I'm going to follow up. I have been intimately involved with Fuge Camps for a number of years. I took a youth group to it when I was an interim youth pastor before moving to the field. But when I moved back to the States after serving with the IMB overseas, I was asked to participate in Fuge Camps as one of the camp speakers. And I love that opportunity because I'm not called to youth ministry, but I like to say I am called to fuss at youth 4 or 5 days in a row. And I love that opportunity to open the scripture with them and to point them to the goodness of Jesus. But Joe, you hit on one of my favorite parts of camp is the investment in the leaders. Camp is an exhausting experience, but you all create such intentional times for the leaders to slow down and to be invested in as well. It creates this pretty special camp opportunity for them to be shepherded and cared for and rallied around. So I'm really thankful for that opportunity and the intentionality about how you direct the word and the ministry of the word throughout the entire week. I absolutely love. So, all right, Joe, what would you say is the intended purpose of Fuge Camp? Like when you're pitching this to a youth pastor who's thinking about bringing a group for the first time, what are you saying this is going to happen when you bring your students?
So I love that question. And we've said for a long time that life change takes place best in the context of relationships. And so with our summer staff, we love them having opportunity to do Bible study. We do recreation. Our recreation isn't just games that for play, it's games with a purpose. And a lot of times they debrief and they come back to whatever's happening in Bible study and the theme for that day or the theme for that week. And so through everything we do, we love being able to point it back to the theme and help students have a better understanding of who Christ is, who he wants to be in their life, and that he basically wants to have a personal relationship with them. And then at the end of the day, you know, really, if they can walk away from camp with a closer relationship with God, whether that's a starting relationship or how they can go deeper in that relationship with God or how they can even grow closer in their relationship with family and friends, because that's a big, big win for us as well. So those are kind of the things that we really hope to accomplish over the course of the summer. And we see that happen every year at the end of every week. Several years ago, we started a tradition called Ringing of the Bell, and we've been ringing that bell at closing celebration for anybody that's come to a first-time understanding of Christ in their life, and that bell is rung thousands of times.
Yeah. You mentioned being called to ministry at camp. There's so much that happens as God gets distractions out of the way and gets these students a little bit uncomfortable, not sleeping in their own bed, running hard for many, many hours a day, sometimes serving in MFuge track. But gospel conversations, gospel transformation and the power of the Spirit for God's glory, students being called to ministry and taking that step forward, it's pretty incredible. So, all right, Dr. Ross, you kept your finger on the pulse of student ministry for a long time. So right now, in this moment, 2026, what do you diagnose as some urgent needs for students in churches today? And how do you see camp playing a role in meeting some of those needs?
Well, one thing that we're following with great interest is there is right now a little bit of an uptick in spiritual curiosity among lost students. Not quite interested in religious institutions, but they are fascinated with, interested in Jesus. Yep. Because Fuge holds up Jesus high, that is going to be intriguing to students that have developed this new curiosity. And interestingly, really, it's the guys right now that are showing a little bit more spiritual zeal and interest even than the girls. I'm just thinking about guys that are 15 or 17 or 13 to be around these Fuge guys. Many of them just have wonderful personalities. They are guys, but they are head over heels in love with Jesus. I think that's going to spark great interest in the boys that watch them. Another issue in 2026, of course, is how preoccupied the students have been with their screens, how they have lived out of those, some would say 6 or 7 hours a day. One wonderful thing about Centrifuge is it immerses them in Christian community, not just a little bit. It is Christian community from the earliest moment to late at night. They love relationships. It is the nature of small group Bible study and recreation to mix up the groups that have come. Teenagers get to meet other teenagers that love Jesus from all over the United States. And I think that rich Christian community without a preoccupation with screens provides a wonderful opportunity for transformation.
Absolutely. That's right. One of the joys that we've had at Southwestern is we're actually a Fuge site, and we host 7 weeks of Fuge over the summer. So if you're thinking about it, and in the Texas, Oklahoma surrounding area, bring your students to Fort Worth and show them this beautiful campus and the facilities that we have. But we also actively work to recruit the counselors to become Southwesterners, and many of them have matriculated into our programs to learn from legends like Dr. Ross. So, all right, Joe, you mentioned Fuge has been around for about a minute. It's been 50-ish, almost 50 years now that it's been here. But how's the ministry evolved? And how do you see it continuing to grow to meet the needs of ministry today, including chickens and Funyuns and all sorts of stuff that's involved in the craziness of camp?
So some of the DNA is the same. Worship, Bible study, quiet times. I would say one of the first times I was introduced to quiet times, back then they were called sealed orders. You'd come by and you pick them up and you go spend some time on a quiet little rock at Gloria, New Mexico. So some of those things have not changed, but we used to have one person on a guitar leading worship, and now we have a whole band, as Dr. Ross has kind of mentioned. So more lights, more sound in production, the games, you know, we used to play probably was mostly related around the activities that you would just have in the moment. But over years, we've found adventure rec activities that we've been able to add to that spot. So those are some of the things that I'd say have been the same and the staple, but we just use the technology and making it bigger and better and trying to add a lot of color, the kind of things that students kind of want and expect when they're coming to something fun activity like this. So as far as meeting the future needs and today's students, actually, we try to stay on top of that youth culture. So we're studying things like the anxious the child and understanding their needs and meeting those needs at camp. And we really do a great job of helping kids whenever we hear about situations with them, listening, being a part of that process, getting them back in touch with their youth minister to be able to help them with that situation back home. And so there's a lot of times that we really do a lot more than just Bible study and worship, but we actually get knee to knee with kids and work through some of those daily situations and pain points that they're walking through on a daily basis. And I think that's just awesome whenever students have that an opportunity to be able to find somebody that they have confidence in. But we always want to get it back to the local church because that's who's going home with them.
That's absolutely right. I will say from my experience with your counselors and your directors, your leadership at different sites, they are some of the best trained young people for this work, not only relationally engaging, but when it comes to legal requirements and understanding mandatory reporting and proper counseling and integrating the church into that and not usurping the role of the local church in that. It is one of the most beautiful things that I see is this partnership. Sometimes youth pastors and the youth workers that come, they've walked with these students for years and they don't necessarily, they're not able to get them over the hump of what they're dealing with over through prayer and counsel. But sometimes that cool young voice that comes in and sees a problem and diagnoses it really quickly in partnership with the youth leaders and speaks a timely word in partnership with the church to that student, man, it moves the ball forward so quickly in the life of the student to healing and wholeness in Jesus. So I just want to commend you for how well your people are trained and how well and seriously they take that role and responsibility, Joe.
Thanks. You know, I often say it's not that they're saying anything different that their student minister or that small group leader's been saying for the last 51 weeks. But sometimes just all of a sudden hearing it from a different person from in a different perspective, and they're like, oh, what my pastor, what my youth pastor, what my Sunday school teacher, what my parents have been saying, this 20 1-year-old all of a sudden is actually saying the same thing. So maybe I should slow down and listen for a minute.
That's right. All right, Dr. Ross, how churches and youth ministries particularly, they have to think 52 weeks in a year, and there's a lot of programming that happens and a lot of intentional relationship building that happens and Wednesday nights and fundraisers and all sorts of stuff that's going on. How can Fuge integrate in to the life of the local church and help serve the student holistically?
Well, I had the privilege of being a student pastor for 30 years, and I'm not saying I did it right all the time, but what I tried to do during camp was use every single day at camp to build practices that were going to last hopefully a lifetime, but at least for a few years. For example, Joe mentioned morning worship, being with Jesus in scripture and in prayer early of a morning. Obviously, that's going to be a message the students will hear at camp. It's quite another thing, though, that in church devotions, in times that a student pastor, student leader is directly involved with young people, what you're doing is you're saying to them every single day, let me help you think carefully about what your practice is going to be when you get home every morning. What will that look like? What time are you going to get up? What will you do to approach scripture? So if you're intentional about that, I think the carryover is much more likely. Same thing with gospel conversations. You say to teenagers, hey, watch for somebody this week at camp who's got a heart that seems to be open and curious. Talk to them about meeting Jesus. And by you having those conversations this week, getting over a little bit of your stress and fear, it's going to be so much easier to continue having conversations like that when you get home. I think the youth leader that never brings up the future, never brings up life after camp, probably is going to be disappointed that the carryover doesn't last as long. I think if you're using every day of camp to build practices that will last, the carryover is much more likely.
That's right. All right. So, hey, Joe, I'm going to give you the last word, whatever you want, but then I want you to answer this question. If somebody watches this and they're like, I want my youth ministry and my youth pastor to take kids to camp, how do they say yes to that and take the next step? So whatever you want to say, and then answer that question for me.
Well, first off, I just want to say that Dr. Ross, early on in ministry, a lot of us heard him say, student ministry is not necessarily a stepping stone to other ministries. And a lot of myself and my peers took him at that. And I know a lot of my friends, we've been in student ministry for a long time, and it has been a joy to be able to serve the church through Fuge Camp's ministry. And so thank you, Dr. Ross, for just that bit of encouragement, because it has, you know, it kind of helps you through some of those tougher days. If somebody was interested in registering for Fuge Camps, they want to be a part of it, they could easily go to fugecamps.com. While we are, many of our weeks are full and have a waiting list, there are still weeks that have availability, and we actually registered a really nice sized church just at Southwestern Seminary for the summer. Just last Thursday, we were celebrating that. We were pretty excited about that. So registration is still ongoing. You can also call our 877-CAMP, C-A-M-P-123, easy number to remember there, and you can register and bring your kids. So like I said, we have camps all over the United States, primarily in the Southeast, but coast to coast. And so we would love to be able to host you and your church at camp this summer or next.
Awesome. Well, Joe, thank you so much. And we are going to be praying for you, your team, the teams that they lead all across the United States, that they would be faithful to minister, they would be quick to proclaim the hope of Jesus, and that students' lives would be transformed as local churches make the investment of going and partnering with Fuge over the summer. Dr. Ross, thank you, and we're going to continue praying for you and the work of your hands at Southwestern as you train men like Joe and those doing the work of the ministry today. So God bless you both. Thanks so much. And Southwesterners, we'll see you next time.
Thanks for joining us for the Southwesterners Forum, and we'll see you next time.